Good evening, everybody. It's great to have you with us, and it's great to have President Donald Trump back on the campaign trail. Last night at a rally in Wisconsin, President Trump blasted Joe Biden for trying to replace Easter Sunday with the so-called Transgender Day of Visibility. It took President Trump only a matter of minutes to set Biden and the satanic Marxists straight, restoring values and putting God at the forefront of the American political arena. And President Trump quickly crushed the smug evildoers who declared war on Christianity, Trump promising that he will declare Election Day, November 5th, to be Christian Visibility Day. Here is the president.
We're going to win the White House, and we are going to save our country. We're going to save our country. And what the hell was Biden thinking when he declared Easter Sunday to be Trans Visibility Day? Such total disrespect to Christians, and November 5th is going to be called something else. You know what it's going to be called? Christian Visibility Day, when Christians turn out in numbers that nobody has ever seen before. Let's call it Christian Visibility Day, all right? I've just come from Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I was proud to receive the endorsement of the police.
And Christian Visibility Day, November 5th, is as of now. The president's rallies last night, capping a night of victories in primaries all across the country. President Trump winning the states of New York, Rhode Island, Delaware, Wisconsin, and Connecticut. And according to the latest Wall Street Journal poll, President Trump is leading Biden now in six key swing states that he needs to retake the presidency. Six of seven. Not bad, particularly at this early stage. President Trump is beating Biden by 5 points in Arizona, a point in Georgia, 6 points in North Carolina, 3 points in Pennsylvania. And what is amazing, President Trump even leads by 4 points in Nevada, a state carried by the Democrats in the last two presidential elections. Or so they say. The poll also showed President Trump up by 3 points in Michigan. That's consistent with another new poll by a group called Spry Strategies, which finds Trump leading Biden by nearly 5 points in the state. In Michigan, the Spry poll found a majority of voters support mass deportations of illegal aliens, with as many as 44% of voters saying they strongly agree with mass deportation of illegal aliens. And that appears to be the view of most Americans all around the country. And mass deportation is exactly what the United States will have to do in order to save this country. We're now seeing real evidence of a mass campaign to disenfranchise millions of American voters with the Marxist Democrat Party's importation of those illegal aliens by the millions. And make no mistake, folks, this will not be easy. According to new data by the Gateway Pundit and an X account called End Wokeness, voter registrations without photo IDs are surging in three states, Arizona, Pennsylvania, and Texas. The federal government allows people to register to vote with just a Social Security number in some states. And we know illegal aliens take advantage of the loophole because many illegals are provided Social Security numbers by the corrupt Biden administration when they bring them in on parole and process them ever so quickly. This is no accident. This is no coincidence. It is all part of the design of the evil Marxist Democrats trying to destroy this country. And they have a head start on the project. A new ad by Western Lensman details just how the Democrats are doing it.
The Democrat open borders plan to entrench single-party rule, explained in under 2 minutes. 1. Flood the country with untold millions of illegals by land, sea, and air from all over the world, enough to eclipse the populations of 36 individual U.S. states so far. 2. Prioritize the needs of these millions of non-citizens over the needs of the American citizen, with free flights, buses, hotels, meals, and phones, ensuring their loyalty to the political party that imported them. 3. Keep them in the country at all costs, even when they commit violent crime like murder and rape. Attack the language used to describe the criminals, as opposed to the criminals themselves. Slander critics as racist. 4. Ensure their privileges are made irrevocable with city and state sanctuary laws that act as population magnets. codify permanent status and ensure non-cooperation with ICE. 5. Count the non-citizens in the census that will determine congressional apportionment in the House of Representatives. As of now, that would equal 13 extra congressional districts, a tremendous amount of electoral power. 6. Wage a massive, heavily funded lawfare campaign to change state voting laws that legalize mass mail-in ballots, no signature verification, and no proof of citizenship requirements, making it nearly impossible to prove voter fraud.
And there you have it, the Marxist satanic Democrats, their plan, and they are pursuing it daily. They've only become more brazen in their efforts to turn this country over to the illegals and preserve power in the hands of the Marxist Dems and the deep state. In New York, illegals can now receive benefits of almost $1,500 a month, which is 7 times more than what military families receive in government aid. Watch.
It's as part of a $53 million program, giving the average family of four more than $1,400 per month. It's more than the allowance for some deployed troops. Fox News Digital breaking it all down, saying, quote, while an average military family is suffering from a deficit of $1,860 over a period of 9 months, a similarly sized illegal migrant family is being given nearly 7 times more.
And that is what the corrupt Biden and his satanic Marxists are up to. They've given over this country to the illegals and the Mexican drug cartels while undercutting the bravest Americans among us, those who fight and die for this country in uniform. The Marxists have made them second-class citizens to these illegal aliens. The disgraceful Marxist governor of Massachusetts, Maura Healey, announcing the historic Chelsea Soldiers Home, a former veteran shelter, will now be converted into a shelter to house illegal aliens at taxpayer expense, as hundreds of veterans in Massachusetts remain homeless. An illegal alien from Haiti admitting to Florida police that he sexually assaulted a 10-year-old girl. The man, a picture of the vile scum the cretin Biden is flooding this country with by the millions. A Marxist Democrat party that has embraced all forms of perversion and evil. And joining us now to talk about all that is happening as a result of that wide open border, all 2,000 miles of it, impeachment manager for the Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas's impeachment, Congresswoman Harriet Hageman. And she will, I'm sure, ensure a fair and strong trial representing the American people and the good folks of Wyoming. Congresswoman, thanks for being with us here. We appreciate it. I want to first get your reaction to what is happening at this border and what the Dems are doing right now. They are setting the country afire, speaking obviously figuratively, but very near literally.
Lou, you have been pounding this drum for years and years and years and years. You have been in some ways the lone voice in the wilderness describing what kind of a catastrophe was going to befall us if we didn't address this over the last couple of decades. And everything you said was very prescient. Listening to your opening dialogue, it is just stunning to me what is happening in this country and why we have Democrat leaders who are willing to sacrifice the interests of the American citizens to bring in over 10 million illegal aliens, many of them committing the crimes that you just described. One of the things that is important to recognize is that many jurisdictions do not identify whether a person who commits a crime is here illegally or not. And in that way, they are actually undercounting the numbers of crimes that are being committed. Right. I read about the situation in Florida with the Haitian illegal migrant. He raped that little girl. She was 10 years old. He repeatedly raped her. He admitted he couldn't control himself around her. Why in the world would we allow that kind of an animal into our country? And why would we not immediately send him back to Haiti the moment that that was discovered? I am stunned at what is happening. I am one of the impeachment managers for Mayorkas. I look forward to holding him accountable and exposing who and what this man is and his efforts to turn us into the very type of country that he allegedly fled with his family, that being Cuba. a totalitarian regime that does nothing to actually protect its citizens, but reward the most corrupt among us.
Without question. And this administration has now reached a point. I have no patience with those who are now suggesting that that President Biden didn't know that it was Easter Sunday, or no one on his White House staff was smart enough to know what his proclamation for Trans Visibility Day was, what the date was, the last day of March, folks, for you in the White House who have trouble with a calendar. I mean, the ignorance, the cowardice of all of these people, their craven corruption. This country is, I watch a newscast on traditional television news, and I wonder, what planet are they on? They speak as if this isn't a puppet president. They speak as if this Alejandro Mayorkas didn't turn over the entire border to the Mexican drug cartels. How is it that we have such a, frankly, a weak and pathetic population suddenly that will not stand up for our rights, will not stand up for our sovereignty, and will not demand justice forthrightly for those who would create such heinous crimes against our children?
Lou, I've been traveling the state of Wyoming extensively over the last couple of months and just had a couple more town halls last week and this week. And I can tell you that the number one issue for people in Wyoming is the open border, what is going to be happening and what we're going to do to address what is well beyond a crisis. They see, the folks of Wyoming, whether they're in Buffalo or Grable or Powell or Torrington or Wheatland or wherever they may be, they see this crisis unfolding before them. And they say, they ask the same questions that you do, which is what happened to our country. When you talk about this Trans Visibility Day and people talk about gender affirming care, it isn't gender affirming care. These are sexual lobotomies. And the people who are performing these types of acts on children as well as adults are evil beyond beyond all evil. It's something that I don't think that you and I ever expected we would even be talking about, that people would be talking about giving men female hormones and women male hormones, allowing men to compete against women in sports and taking away the opportunities that they have. We are living in a topsy-turvy world because that is the Marxist playbook. What I would say that I used to believe was that Democrats and Republicans may have a different approach to how we were going to solve problems in our country. But I think for the most part, Democrats and Republicans actually cared about America. What I will tell you now is Republicans and conservatives and independents may love America, but I'm fighting against a Democrat party that hates it. I'm fighting every single day to protect the United States of America and the citizens of this country. And the Democrats that I'm up against are fighting every single day to turning America into something that neither you nor I will ever recognize again. And this is part of that playbook. You indicated that we're going to have to start deporting illegals. That's absolutely correct. We have to retake the White House this November. We have to win this election. We have to retake the Senate. We have to retain the House. And it is critical, important, that we fight back against the evil that we are seeing in the efforts to destroy our country.
We have known, Representative Hageman, that for a long time, this is just a puppet president, cognitively impaired, politically corrupted and compromised. But that puppet now, I think it's very clear to just about everyone. His master, this puppet president of ours, is Satan himself. This White House is under the control of Satan. These are evildoers, and they mean to do their very worst against this great country and this great people. Representative Hageman, we thank you for being with us, and we wish you the very best of luck as you proceed as the impeachment manager against Alejandro Mayorkas, a man who, as we both know, should have been impeached and, frankly, in my judgment, convicted a long time ago. Thanks so much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Lou.
Well, I want to turn now to Louisiana. And I want to say, just to begin with, God bless Governor Jeff Landry. He's a great American. The Louisiana governor is blasting the LSU women's basketball team after they walked off the floor before the national anthem this past Monday night in their Elite Eight matchup against Iowa. Not only is Governor Landry criticizing the team, but he's calling on Louisiana lawmakers to pass legislation that would strip any athlete of athletic scholarship for failing to be present for the playing of the national anthem at any competition. And meanwhile, the Louisiana Senate has advanced a bill to slap the World Health Organization, the United Nations, and World Economic Forum in the face. The proposed law in Louisiana would prohibit entirely the evil axis of globalists from imposing mandates of any kind in the state of Louisiana. Speaking of evil, a Catholic nun says President Donald Trump is up against just that. Listen to what Mother Miriam has to say about the stakes this year.
If President Trump gets in, it's a complete act of God. If the Democrats, if Biden is not reelected, it is a complete act of God, because every scheme and every evil is out there that he would continue to be our president, as inept and evil as he is.
And not only is this president the puppet of the Satan himself, but the entire White House is peopled by evil and the destruction, the perversion that they are visiting on this great country has to stop, and it has to stop now. I want to just take a moment to say to Congresswoman Lauren Boebert that she has our wishes and best thoughts and prayers. She's undergone emergency surgery, diagnosed with a rare and potentially life-threatening disorder. And by the way, she is also, we're told, doing very well following that surgery. I want to turn also to the latest thing that Joe Biden has just said. He has said, after draining that Strategic Petroleum Reserve to the lowest levels in four decades, talking about refilling it, he rejects that idea entirely because he says the price of oil is just way too expensive. That is our nation's leader, Joe Biden. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Now we're going to turn to a story that you haven't heard about or read about in the national left-wing media. It's a story that is about voter fraud. It is a story about electoral fraud on a vast scale. Filing yesterday before the Supreme Court, attorney Kurt Olson, representing Carrie Lake and Mark Fincham in the state of Arizona, bringing forward brand new evidence into their case and seeking redress before the Supreme Court, and doing so, requesting an expedited resolution of these issues and these claims that Kurt Olson has put forward in his filings for the petitioners, Carrie Lake and Mark Fincham in the state of Arizona, pertaining to the elections of 2020, by the way, and 2022. And here now is conservative attorney Kurt Olson. Kurt, good to have you with us. And Kurt, here you are filing before the Supreme Court, petitioning in behalf of Carrie Lake and Mark Fincham, because you have new evidence pertaining to elections in both 2020 and 2022, and you believe the Supreme Court has a responsibility to act here. Why?
Well, Lou, how we got this new evidence in front of the Supreme Court is because the original case was dismissed on standing. And the standing determination was that there was no injury because the injury was too speculative. And so that wound its way through the district court, the Ninth Circuit, and up to the Supreme Court. But we have uncovered new evidence, which we're allowed to introduce, because under the federal code 28 U.S.C. 1653, you can introduce jurisdictional or evidence that shows jurisdiction at any point in the proceeding. And that new evidence is stunning. So in dismissing this case, which went to whether or not voting machines can constitutionally provide a secure and accurate vote, we challenge that. We have the courts relied on some representations by the defendants. One, that the election software that was used had been certified and approved by the Secretary of State, and also that they performed pre-election logic and accuracy testing to make sure that the machines are actually reading and tabulating the votes to give the public confidence when they go into the election that their ballot will be accurately counted.
The Secretary of State is the one that did the logic and the approval of the machines. Is that correct?
They do. The Secretary of State has a 3-member panel under Arizona law
right. That
approves the software along with the EAC. It must be tested by a certified voting system testing labs. And so there's quite a process to go through to make sure that the software that is used is certified and approved. And that's exactly what the defendants represented when they told the courts, plaintiffs' claims don't hold water. They're claiming that the elections are unsafe and unsecure. This software is certified. And they told the district court that, they told the Ninth Circuit that, and actually the Ninth Circuit, in its opinion affirming dismissal, that's before the Supreme Court, cited those two issues as a primary basis, that the software was certified and that the defendants performed pre-election logic and accuracy testing. Mm-hmm. So we have new evidence. We have new evidence that shows that software was altered before the 2020 election and used in the 2020 election and used in the 2022 election. And it was altered with respect to the configuration file that governs how ballots are read and tabulated. It goes precisely, this altered software goes precisely to the issue of whether or not these machines are accurately reading ballots. And secondly, we show that they don't even perform logic and accuracy testing as required on the voting system, on the tabulators that are used at Maricopa County's vote centers. There's about over 400 of them. They test 5 spares.
They did what?
They test 5 spares when the law
requires out of 400?
5 spares that aren't even used during the election. And you combine that with the fact that they're using altered software, and they falsely represented to the courts that this software is certified. It's not. It's a Frankenstein-like version that combines different, what are called machine behavior settings in there. And they don't test this software, the pre-election logic and accuracy. They test 5 spares, as I said.
So what you're saying is that every assertion that the electronic voting machines were reliable, were secure, and that had gone through, as you put it, the logic accuracy testing, none of that happened across 400 machines.
Correct. In 2020 and 2022, and this isn't us saying it. This is coming from the machines themselves. This is from the tabulator system log files, which there are millions of lines of data that go into this. And the tabulator system log files record every single piece of activity within those machines. And there are warning codes. It says warning, wrong MBS version 5.10, which is not the version that's been certified, only what's called version 5.5. And this is not a small issue. The fact that defendants misrepresented to the courts that they were using the EAC and Arizona Secretary of State approved software, that was false. The fact that they represented to the courts that they performed logic and accuracy testing, pre-election logic and accuracy testing, and that's another reason why telling the court that the claims were meritless, that was false.
Let me understand. The Arizona Secretary of State is obviously a defendant in this case. Who else is a defendant in this case?
Maricopa County and Pima County.
Okay. And both of them the same result.
Well, Pima County uses different voting systems. So this new evidence applies only to Maricopa County, and which is not insignificant because Maricopa County is the 4th largest county in the country. And where Maricopa County goes, generally Arizona goes as well because of that.
Right. And Maricopa County, the most corrupt county in the state of Arizona, first of all, and has been for years. But secondly, it was central to the contest over the vote in 2022.
correct?
Yes. I mean, what was stunning is that this case was dismissed in August of 2022. And then we had the election that following November, and over 60% of the machines failed. They were rejecting ballots at a rate of 7,000 or more ballots every 30 minutes from 6:30 in the morning until 8 p.m. at night. It was a disaster. And so precisely what we warned about is something that occurred.
These were narrow votes, Carrie Lake, Katie Hobbs for governor, Abe Hamadeh for attorney general, Mark Bencham. These were all relatively close elections. What do you expect the Supreme Court? First, what do you expect the Supreme Court to do? What do you want them to do?
Well, I never predict what a court is going to do. What I want them to do is obviously to take the petition and reverse and remand back to the district court at a minimum and say, hey, the plaintiffs have standing. We're not asking the court to rule on the merits of the case per se. We're simply saying we have standing. We were injured. The dismissal of these claims based on the notion that the claims were too speculative was wrong. And Carrie Lake and Mark Fincham should have their day in court, particularly before the 2024 election, because this new evidence that we have shows they're using altered software and they're not performing the required logic and accuracy testing before the election. And so this is a very serious matter going into 2024.
To what degree is the voting machine company culpable in this for the fact that the logic and accuracy testing was not carried out despite certification from the Secretary of State and other parties? To what degree is the Secretary of State himself responsible?
Well, under Arizona law, with respect to logic and accuracy testing for the county, the Secretary of State is allowed to test a sampling of voting equipment. But the Arizona law expressly requires counties to test all deployable voting equipment. So the county is the responsible party here for the logic and accuracy testing. When it comes to the software that's been altered, you know, right now, what we know is that that software has been altered. And there is no debate about that. We can see that in the tabulator system log files. We can see, and we have, you know, looked at this in data, which is dispositive on this issue. Who altered the software? That is a question that remains. But it is a felony, I would note, under Arizona law, to alter software knowingly without the permission of the Secretary of State is a felony.
Kurt, thank you very much. I know that you've been working on this case for years. You're putting, as usual as you do in everything you do, you're sweat, blood, and tears into it. We wish you all the very best of luck before the Supreme Court for the good of the nation, for the good of the good people of Maricopa County and the state of Arizona. Kurt Olson, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Lou.
And there you have it. Kurt Olson representing Carrie Lake and Mark Fincham in the state of Arizona. The state of Arizona, the Secretary of State, has a lot to take up here. So does the Supreme Court. In Maricopa County, the defendant, we'll see what happens. There is an expedited hearing that we believe will occur in the latter part of this month. We'll see, and we'll keep you posted. Thanks for being with us, everybody.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Most politicians, including those in the Republican Party, ignore the victims of illegal alien crime. There's a real cost to these open borders. It's deadly, whether it's fentanyl and other deadly drugs, to the crimes like murder and rape committed by those illegal aliens now in this country. And they've been brought here by none other than President Biden. President Trump took a moment to honor the victims to these crimes.
Another illegal alien criminal was sentenced in Kent County by executing a 22-year-old Grand Rapids woman while she was in the car with her one-year-old baby, shooting her at least five times all over with a rifle at point-blank range while the killer was wanted for outstanding attempted versions of various forms of strangulation. And just a few weeks ago, I met with the grieving family of Laken Riley. You know Laken. She was incredible. Top of her class. Everything was the top. She was the top of everything. She was incredible. I met the parents. Incredible people. The 22-year-old nursing student in Georgia who was barbarically murdered by an illegal alien animal. The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals. I said, I will deliver justice for Laken. I said that. And now, today, I'm adding something. It's going to be for Laken. And it's also justice for Ruby. We're going to deliver justice for Ruby.
And the Trump campaign also called on Joe Biden to, quote, say their names. But, of course, he won't. He won't say their names because he doesn't care one whit about them. He doesn't care about illegal alien crime. In fact, Joe Biden has facilitated it. He's designed it. He supports it. And he is in league with the Mexican drug cartels that make it all so. During that same event, President Trump talked about his support for law enforcement. He also added how police would be vital to his plan to crack down on illegal alien crime in this country. And it looks like the support goes both ways. The Police Officers Association of Michigan honoring President Trump with their endorsement yesterday. Watch this.
Today, on behalf of 12,000 law enforcement people that the Police Officers Association of Michigan represent, we want you to accept our endorsement for President of the United States.
Very important.
You got it.
Thank you for the time. Thank you very much.
Wow. Thank you very much. That's very nice. That's a great honor, and thank you very much. And we will make you proud. We will make you proud.
And joining us this evening is Jim Tignanelli. He is the president of the Police Officers Association. You saw in the video. And we're pleased to have you with us, Jim. Thanks so much, and thanks for your endorsement of President Donald Trump. Was it a tough decision for your group?
We'd endorse him in 16 and 20 as well, but it was never easier to make that decision than it was yesterday. I think the last 3.5 years has alerted any naysayers that there may have been in the past what the difference is. And so it was a very simple decision. It was an A and a B, and there was no B.
Exactly. It's stunning to me that there's even a discussion in some quarters of the country. There are places like Massachusetts, which is the People's Republic of Massachusetts, other left-wing deep blue states, but they're not paying attention to anything. The destruction, the devastation that this administration has visited on the American people, the tragedies that have occurred because of the just rampant illegal alien crime. But it's not just illegal alien crime, as you well know. I mean, we're watching crime on every level skyrocketing in this country. And we're also watching the failure to prosecute those criminals. Your thoughts about the state of law enforcement right now in this country. How are our men and women in uniform holding up in this difficult time, a dangerous time for them and for the public?
Well, I mentioned to President Trump yesterday that my mother used to say things like this take the wind out of your sails. And that's a simple way for me to try to explain the enthusiasm that it takes to have this job, to choose this job. And the commitment that it takes to beyond this job is not for everybody. And we have people that have committed to it. And when you see that the felons you arrest become misdemeanors and then virtually go out without bond and are released before we even get off of work most of the time, when you see that happen and you see police officers getting assaulted in broad daylight on sidewalks, I mean, it goes back to when they were dumping buckets of water on them. And I thought it's only a matter of time when this is acceptable behavior. I grew up in a different generation, apparently, where police officers were very highly regarded. It was an honorable position. It was something that that I didn't come from a law enforcement family. What brought me to it was great relationships with real law enforcement people. They were people I respected, and right. and I thought I could earn that respect myself. But right now, you've got officers out there that we're down about 17% in Michigan of number of pure law enforcement officers just in Michigan. And that's not because crime's down by nearly 20%. It's because there's no one in the academies. We're trying to do things to keep people that from retiring, if anything, because it's nearly impossible to fill the vacancies. And so the trickle down from that, Lou, is that why would law-abiding people find any benefit to abiding by the law? I mean, if it's so profitable, so easy to commit crimes, to assault a police officer and for it to have absolutely no consequence to it, it actually takes many of the people that probably in the past would have, when we all stopped police, that used to be what you did. You stopped. I mean, there were those that didn't, but not everyone. Right. We have the assaults on police are up like 40% physical assaults on police officers. That number is growing dramatically every year. And it's because that lack of honor that comes with this job, the lack of respect that there is for the job. And it's not because of the kind of job we're doing. It's because it's so easy to resist the police. It's making it, you know, people want to know why numbers are down. You want to know why crime is down. Well, nobody reports it anymore.
Right. Yeah. You know, to your point, you want to know why people don't respect law enforcement. You want to know why people aren't giving police their due. Do you want to know why that you can't replace those officers? It's called Joe Biden. It's called the Marxist Dems. And they're satanic, they're evil, and they mean to destroy the country. They mean to destroy law. They mean to destroy order, and that means destroy law enforcement. There's no question about it. This is a campaign, not by the Democrat Party, because the Democrat Party doesn't exist anymore. It's not an opposition party. It's an enemy party, a party that is an enemy of the United States and all that America stands for. And to suggest in any way that the Marxist M's are anything other than a fifth column within this country that means to destroy this nation is simply to ignore reality and, I think, deny truth and to deny the evil that we're all looking at. And I have to say how law enforcement officer, any law enforcement officer, any part of this country stands up against all of this that's arrayed against him or her. I salute them. Because frankly, most of the communities that have these officers who are putting their lives on the line, I frankly think the communities themselves are so weak, so effete, they don't deserve the protection of those brave men and women in uniform. And that's got to change. And it's got to change in places like Massachusetts and all the blue states that think that this is a game. This is no game. This is an assault on our republic, and it's that straightforward. Your thoughts about what you think President Trump will bring on Christian Visibility Day, November 5th, as he declared it at the rally?
Well, I can tell you that I can only go back to what he already showed us in the 4 years that he was here. And I think that's a legitimate comparison. Military surplus vehicles that had been salvaged and kept in garages around the country were turned over to small county sheriff's departments for protection. Now, these were armored vehicles, not armed vehicles, but they allowed us to go in and save people where the bullets would bounce off, where we had some cover of safety. You get in anywhere up through the middle of the peninsula of lower Michigan, those are sheriff's departments that are confronted with people that routinely have guns and rifles, and we want them to have guns and rifles. They're law-abiding citizens. But the police officers were always shorthanded, and President Trump gave us those rifles. Those rifles were in police cars all over the lower peninsula, and I'm sure the upper peninsula. When that occurred, that gave us a little level of safety, and it did it for free. I mean, it wasn't these were thousands of dollars, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment that that could save lives, not just officers' lives, the people that they are paid to protect's lives. But when you let, when, you know, Trump's last year, 400,000 people came across the southern border, and I guess I would have thought at that time was an unbelievable amount of people. Now it's over 3 million, and they're pushing the National Guard out of the way. These people don't sneak in the middle of the night. They walk across in the light of day. They walk across and they get handed a ticket to show up in 6 or 7 years. That we don't know where they go. We don't know who they are. I'm not saying they're all evil people. I'm just saying it's illegal. It's illegal, and that makes it an illegal entry. And they come in and they get a gift card. They get they get accommodations. They get free transportation to anywhere in the United States. And then a promise that they'll show up someday when they're supposed to home.
Yeah, this is not their fault. This is not their fault at all. They're doing what they were invited to do, incentivized to do by the satanic Marxist Dems and this fool of a puppet president. And we're talking about millions of illegal immigrants every year coming into this country to do their worst, to be taking up services and money that should be spent on American citizens. And Donald Trump will change all of that.
You, Lou?
There is no doubt in my mind.
What? Can I share something with you on that?
Sure.
Quickly, yesterday.
We're about out of time, so real quick, please.
Literally a few miles from my office where I'm sitting right now, 21 kilos of fentanyl, pure fentanyl, was captured here in Macomb, Wayne County. And what we were told is that that's enough fentanyl to kill more than the population of the state of Michigan. That was just one routine stop yesterday. This is going on. This is Michigan. We're not on the border. Okay, we've got the northern border, of course, but that's not where this came through. And this is going on so easily that, as a matter of fact, we were told yesterday that they don't bust down doors of meth labs anymore because there's no money in it. It's cheaper to buy it. So you can imagine it's cheaper for the dealers to buy it than to create it.
Anyone in this country who votes for a Democrat is voting for a Marxist Dem, and they're voting for pure hell on earth for the United States, because each one of these is directly to the debit of this demented president, Joe Biden, and the Marxist Dems who run him. Now the entire federal government as well. Jim Taganelli, we thank you very much for being with us. We thanks for all you do, your association. Thanks for your support for President Trump. And God bless you. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, well, he's not just a little controversial. He's epically so, and he is an evil son of a gun. He wants men to play in girls' sports. That's what he wants. The anti-woman, anti-child, vetoing a bill that would have protected young girls by mandating that children play sports according to their gender. Listen to what this fool of a governor said as he vetoed the legislation that would have protected girls and women.
When you veto something, you don't date it, you don't do anything, you just put not approved on the line. And we have now helped our kids, our trans kids. Thanks, everybody.
That man is on his last legs. He can't even say the words because they know they're filthy lies. There is no such thing as trans kids. There are only adults complicit in this crime against kids. And Governor Evers, you're one of them. And I hope you're not proud. The case of former Harvard professor Martin Kulldorff shows the Marxist Dems are also anti-science. Harvard fired Kulldorff because he spoke out against the COVID-19 policies and the orthodoxy of the moment. Watch this.
Well, there's a disagreement about infection-acquired immunity. So we have known since the Athenian plague in 430 BC that if you've had infection, then you have immunity against it. And despite that, Harvard and the Harvard hospitals were mandating vaccines for all its members. And That is both unscientific and unethical.
Harvard anti-ethics, anti-science, anti-morality, they're not anti-plagiarism, are they? They're pro-plagiarism. They're anti-meritocracy, but they're pro-diversity, whatever that means, diversity, equity, inclusion. They don't care about your grades or your SAT scores, just the color of your skin. Kulldorff is now calling on all Ivy League universities, not just Harvard, to drop DEI statements and focus on education instead of an indoctrination, on meritocracy instead of the laughable lie that diversity is our strength. There's a radical idea. Before we go, there's good news in Texas thanks to a new law. The University of Texas at Austin, gutting its diversity, equity, inclusion offices, the DEI offices, firing dozens of employees as a result, canceling racially divisive so-called cultural graduations. I mean, it's sickening. The fact of the matter is, it's because Texas passed a law against DEI. Not everyone, though, of course, was happy. Listen to what this deeply sensitive and vulnerable student had to say about it all.
It's terrible, or it's kind of bummy that they closed it, because I feel like Black graduation, it really celebrates the achievement. Like, just because given the history of like Texas and UT alone, Black students were all not always welcome here, not like wanted to graduate from here. So having Black graduation is kind of a celebration of the history and of given everything Black, like the Black community in Austin, especially UT Austin, has gone through. And then also UT, while being diverse, is not very diverse in the Black student Black student area. So Black graduation is a way for all of us to kind of find like our own little niche community. Same thing with like Latino graduation, I assume. Although there is a bigger Latino population, it's still a big achievement for that community as well. Basically any non-white community, it is a big achievement.
I didn't hear much about robust education, remarkable knowledge that had been imparted to the young student. To be candid, it's going to be very difficult to reverse the brain damage that the Marxist left in this country has done to a generation of young Americans who deserve far better from the universities and colleges they attended. They deserved an education. Instead, they got indoctrination and no sense of achievement. And the Lindell Report is coming up. Next, here's Mike Lindell.